Welcome to Friends at Film Camp, the podcast where two friends gather the fire from our fun film perspectives. I'm Jinian.
And I'm Luke.
Today we're talking about another podcast, Strike Force 5.
So, Strike Force 5 is a podcast hosted and created by Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, and John Oliver as a way to pay for their writers. Or it's the way to help raise money to pay their writers while being on the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though the writer's strike has ended...
Has it ended? Officially?
They're not striking now. They haven't ratified the deal yet.
Okay.
But they're very confident and will be ratified. And they're like, stop striking now.
Okay, cool.
As of today, the day we are filming this, it has ended.
Okay.
But they are going to continue with this because they have to do, they have like a minimum amount of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
At least 12.
Mm.
So I assume after 12 they'll stop.
Probably.
But maybe they'll give the money to the Actors Guild now that the writers and everyone's back to work. Because all the shows resume Monday.
That would look good.
Although I heard somewhere that SNL is also starting Monday.
Okay.
Which I don't know how that's possible. Because I get talk shows are not acting, so they're not really actors.
Yeah.
SNL is skit comedy.
Yeah.
So maybe I misheard that. Or maybe that's not accurate. But I don't know how SNL could start.
Is it considered reality somehow?
No, I don't think it would be. It would be considered talk show, maybe.
I don't know.
Like, through weird technicality. Anyway, we are doing this because people seem to really like our last podcast where we reviewed a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We did not expect this.
Yeah.
That was kind of just an offhanded idea that we were desperately trying to fill, find new ways to cover things.
Yes.
So we thought a podcast would be fun, and now it is our most successful episode by far.
Yeah.
So we, like, will strike while the iron's hot.
Now, to be fully transparent, I worry a little bit that you might need to carry this episode. Because I listened to both episodes, and I've come away with very little.
Yes.
You found the same thing.
I feel very similar.
Oh, insert, no.
But not in a way that I don't think I can talk. I think we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Just we might not actually talk that much about
the actual podcast.
But here's like the general premise.
Yeah.
Which is just the five, because we listened to two episodes, because we don't listen to every episode when we do a podcast. That's too many episodes.
Yeah.
So we listened to episode one for the setup and the premise, and then episode seven, so they'd be enough into it, they'd be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And also because it had Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
And I thought Jon Stewart would spice things up.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, Jon Stewart is the best of the six of them.
Yeah.
He's only a guest, but Jon Stewart is really good at hosting this sort of thing.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with my experience with this is I don't have strong feelings for any of these people, except for Jimmy Fallon. No, Jimmy Kimmel, who I don't like. So... like, there's not...
You famously do not like Jimmy Kimmel.
I do not like him. So, there's, like, not a lot for me to really necessarily grab onto or to pull me in initially. And I found a lot of their humor very,
juvenile?
I was going to say 2010s, like, YouTube boy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Well, first off, I feel like John Oliver is not fitting in.
No.
With this dynamic.
With the vibe, no.
But that's also partly because John Oliver is a late night host, but his show is completely different.
I feel like, yeah, than the four of them. Say,
the four of others do a nightly show.
Can you talk about the shows?
We can talk about talk shows now.
Okay.
Because talk shows are now...
now not striking.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Now, we'll have to walk a few more tight ropes.
Okay.
But I think... because talk shows are coming back.
Okay.
So now that the strike is over,
mm-hmm.
we waited to today, the strike is over, we can talk shows. Okay. This would be a lot harder if they did end the strike.
Okay. That's actually very good to know. Okay.
But talk shows are good, so Drew Barrymore, you're safe now.
Yeah, she just had to wait like it's fucking five more seconds.
Yes, but actually, I think Drew Barrymore was very crucial in getting the strike to end.
Yeah.
Because I think they went to the negotiating room and were like, look what we did to America's sweetheart, Drew Barrymore. You don't think we'll do that again? And they were like, oh gosh, we aren't going to be able to win this for a while.
It's a good point because that was them kind of, you were saying that was them kind of trying to cheese it. Be like, okay, Drew Barrymore's going to go first and then everyone else is going to go and we're going to like prove that we can like still go.
Yes.
And it did not work out at all.
No, it went terribly. And I think that scared them. And that's probably why CEOs started getting involved and stuff like that. Like, they were like, okay, we're not winning right now.
Yeah. And in terms of intention and stuff, I do appreciate the podcast and what they're doing.
I think it is very nice that they were paying their staff the whole time. Like, all their staff's wages and everything.
And it's also very smart, for some reason. We've been seeing, in celebrity culture, quite sort of a downfall of a few big celebrities, including Drew Barrymore, with her unexpected and sudden scabbing.
and her complete inability to understand why people are
did
upset.
Not like that.
Even in her like third apology.
Yeah.
Like which very, was the one where everyone was like, okay, thank you for stopping the show.
Yeah.
She was like, I just wanted to go through the disaster and keep going and I just wish we could have found a way. And it's like, true, the whole point is that you shouldn't wish to keep going.
Yeah.
Like you're not understanding.
That's not how a strike works.
This is like you're missing the crux of the issue here.
It's
Drew.
Like a CEO like of a strike, he's like, I wish we could just keep making products. It's like, that's yeah, we know that. That's like
that's why we're
that's
striking.
The point.
Like that's the crux of the issue, Drew. I like how in a podcast with five other hosts, we've talked mostly about Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore,
but also Drew Barrymore has way more charismatic charm than I think we find these shows.
Yes.
Now here's the thing. About late night.
Yeah.
Which I think you and I agree.
Well, here's the thing as well. Here's my thing first. Since we can talk about the shows, I'm not a big late night person. And I don't know, I feel like you're more late night than I am, but I don't even know if you're really that late night.
Here's the thing. I like the idea of late night
more
than most of the execution of late night.
Yeah.
I also don't really have a way to watch late night.
Yeah. If you don't have
cable or satellite or whatever.
Yeah.
You need TV channels. And late night is kind of more of a US thing.
Well, anyway. I did like one of the hosts in the show was kind of talking about that. And I think it was the guest guy. Who was his name?
John Stewart.
I think it was him, but I'm not entirely sure. But he was talking about how they make egg salad. And 3 days later, even if it's a great egg salad, you don't want the egg salad anymore. And kind of talking about how they make very time-sensitive content, and that when they stop making it, they stop existing in a way that other media doesn't necessarily.
Yes.
Which I thought was really, that was like actually interesting and kind of relevant.
Actually, that was one of my favorite parts of all this, because I was like, that is true.
Yeah.
Late night hosts kind of are able to just disappear as soon as they stop their really big show.
Yeah, because there's not that rewatch value most of the time.
Like, think Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Jay Leno still exists. What on earth does Jay Leno do?
Mm-hmm.
I think he has some show about motorbikes or cars. Mm-hmm. He hosted, like, the biggest show for a very long time.
Yeah.
And now he just gone.
And it's not necessarily a good thing or bad thing, but it's a element of the particular medium.
It's the daily newspaper
of
television.
Yeah, exactly.
It has a very important place.
And
it's
you might
just
reference
weird.
It. You might go back and reference something. Mm. But you don't, like, read the newspaper from last year for fun.
Mm. I am grateful that James Corden ended his show right before the writer's strike. Because he would have probably been on here. Although I don't know if they like him.
James Corden just never was a big enough proponent of my life to annoy me as much as he's annoyed most people.
Yes. The difference is you don't really care about musicals.
Yeah.
And I care about musicals. Right before the writer's strike, or right after, we lost three pretty prominent late night names.
Okay.
Trevor Noah with The Daily Show.
Right.
Samantha Bee with Full Frontal.
Mm-hmm.
And James Corden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm putting James Corden separately from those two.
Because
mm-hmm. I don't like James Corden. And James Corden's never done that much political.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other ones do.
Yeah.
He's more of a Jimmy Fallon.
So, okay. I feel honestly similarly to James Corden as I do to Jimmy Fallon. Where early... So, I remember early Jimmy Fallon when he was first starting.
Yes.
And it was before people were really annoyed with him. And I enjoyed some of the games and stuff.
Yes.
I liked What's in the Box and Kid Theater or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would watch those when I was like a teenager. So I thought those were fun. And then I stopped watching. And then everyone got really annoyed with him afterwards.
Yes.
Right? So it was kind of honestly similar to me with James Corden. I remember when he first came to America. You know that movie I like, Begin Again, with Keira Knightley?
Yes.
He's in that. That was kind of one of his, like, the first time I ever saw him in sort of, like, American media. And he was a very, like, side character. He was just her friend in the movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, and then he had his show. And I liked the group, like, interviewing. And then Car Lip Sync or whatever was really big. My mom really liked that. And then I stopped watching. And then everyone got really annoyed with him. So, because I, like, was not engaged really long enough with any of these people to get annoyed with them. I just don't have passionate feelings one way or the other. And I do have some positive, like, memories. And I do think it's funny that I think the collective consciousness likes to forget that we really liked them when they first started.
Yes, but here's what I would respond to that, which
yeah.
I think is a very similar thing to both Jimmy Fallon and James Corden.
Yeah.
Is that they both, they're almost proudly like to be anti-political.
I think they also got they both got over what's that word?
Hyped.
No, like overexposed or over.
Yes.
Is that it was overexposed?
Overexposed is the word.
It was with Jennifer Lawrence as well. Like.
Yeah. Well, here's my hold on. Here's my thing.
Go on.
They both are very proudly anti-political.
Okay.
Which is a very hard thing to do, in my opinion, with the late night format.
Yes.
Because the most relevant thing with late night is to talk about current news of the day.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to talk about politics, mm-hmm. that takes a lot of news out.
Yeah.
Because what else is, are you going to talk about, like, the weather?
Mm-hmm.
It's harder. Which means they relied on, like, gimmicks and games.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Fallon really loves games.
Yeah.
James Corden liked skits.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, if you don't keep coming up with new really good ideas, new games, new skits that people like, it gets old.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause either you're doing the same skits over and over again, or you're doing the same games over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that made people more annoyed. But because they were going viral before, their respective companies pushed them really hard into other media.
Yeah.
So we were seeing James Corden in every musical.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon was kind of appearing everywhere all the time.
He was also all over YouTube for a period.
Yeah.
Like, in a way that was, like, very, very pushed, which I also think annoyed people.
Yes. He was always on YouTube. He made cameos everywhere. And he... Also, both of them kind of have the same thing, where they have a particular mannerism,
mm.
and I'm not even willing to go so far as I think they're fake,
mm-hmm.
is that it can give the energy of fake. Jimmy Fallon particularly is famous for his laugh.
Well, you know what's interesting about that?
And hold on, and James Corden is famous for... It's kind of like the Ellen thing, where it's like, you're so nice and positive, but like, are you?
That's true. Right? They both do have an energy that can come across as inauthentic when they're interviewing people.
Yeah.
Which I think you need in a sense, in that you can't have people on and be mean to them. Well, I guess you can. Some can get away with it. But how they do it can be sometimes annoying when you've picked up on the what feels inauthentic about it. But a counter thing that I want to bring up that I don't have an answer to is RuPaul on his show famously has that fake laugh that he does all the time.
Yes, but here's the difference.
What's the difference?
I think the difference is RuPaul has an air of fakeness that they embrace way more.
I was going to say that, is that RuPaul is manufactured.
But RuPaul embraces that a little
more. Yeah, exactly.
Like RuPaul, which might help with the whole drag thing, because being artificial in drag can work a lot easier than I'm Jimmy Fallon being Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, RuPaul, no, and then you're there's right, RuPaul.
There is an element of, like, RuPaul's not trying to, like, trick you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
At least doesn't feel like it.
But I would also tell RuPaul it's a bad idea to do a late night show if you're RuPaul. That's not where RuPaul's strength would be.
Yeah.
He did try a morning show for about a month.
Oh, yeah.
They did, like, a month-long test run of it.
Yeah.
They didn't pick it up. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it. But I kind of feel like I already know what it is, and I don't want to see it. Stephen Colbert, he's next.
Yeah.
Stephen had a very long-running successful show for a while called The Colbert Report.
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
I don't particularly remember who Stephen Colbert is. I know the name, but I can't match it to who this is. Oh, yes. I like him pretty well.
Yeah. Actually, he
was one of the better ones on there.
Yes. Also, weirdly, or not weirdly, but unexpectedly, he's, like, deeply Catholic.
Oh.
But he also is very openly, like, he's very open to critiquing Catholicism.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll make fun of it, too. He's, like, played Catholic priests in shows before and been, like, goofy about it. He's not above and beyond it.
Yeah.
This is my saying.
Okay.
Anyway, he had the Colbert Show for a while. It was like a Fox News parody.
Yes.
Basically. But it was done in such a well-done way where he was able to get both sides of the political spectrum to watch it. Because basically, one side laughed because what he said sounded absurd. And one side laughed because they were like, yeah, they should do that.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch it really that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I've heard. But yeah. I've heard it was good. Anyway, he did that for like 15 years. And then he was leaving that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then he happened to be able to take over the Late Show from David Letterman, who also you don't really hear much from anymore.
No.
Yeah, another big name. Just.
Well, he did that interview show.
Yeah. Why'd you roll your eyes? Like, this was like, he interviewed people. Ugh.
I'm just tired of fucking dudes doing interviewing shows. It made me think of Jerry Seinfeld, and you know how I feel about that guy.
But that, it's not the same as Jerry Seinfeld.
But it's what it made me think of.
Okay. We don't particularly care for Jerry Seinfeld, but good for him, he's rich, I guess.
No.
Whatever. I haven't actually even watched the show Seinfeld that much.
It's not about the show. It's about him.
I know. I'm just saying I haven't seen much of the show, so I don't even know that much about the air of Seinfeld. I just know I don't like his energy most of the time.
Yeah.
But I like B-movie.
Yeah, like a weirdo. Anyway, this
is about Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Who I think was one of the better ones on the show.
He was. I liked his.
He's always been one of the better interviewers.
I think it was also a problem in terms of structure with this. Is you're always going to have that when you have so many posts.
Yes.
But also, I think Jimmy Kimmel was kind of taking the head host type position. But he wasn't, it felt kind of by default. It didn't feel like he was actually, like, controlling things. Because the conversation of, like, who had been to, what did they call it, court or deposition or something?
Who had a deposition before.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, really, but.
In trial, sometimes if there's both sides needing, like, ever being sued, they need you to testify on the record.
Gotcha.
And so they'll record you, like they'll put a camera in front of you in a boardroom, and you'll sit down and you'll swear, you'll do an oath that you're swearing, you'll tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, all that. Mm-hmm. And then they'll ask you a very long list of questions, and it'll take a very long time. It's very boring.
So having, like that was a really good question, and most of them had had it, and most of them had had it in relation to the show, but he was really...
Yes.
What's the guy we're talking about?
Stephen Colbert.
Stephen Colbert was really the only one who gave us kind of a full story, and it was really interesting talking about, like, how they were... He had to clarify, like, if he said something in character, and how he could explain why the character said that, but that's different than what he thought, and, like, using the mug to be like, okay, I'm answering in character, I'm answering for me. Like, that was really interesting. That was a great story, and it's like... If they had just done a whole episode being like, we've all been in a deposition.
Yes.
Let's talk about the experience of being in a deposition and, like, what we did and, like, whatever. Right? Like, that would kind of be more interesting.
They might have benefited from more of a structure, but I think the whole point was they didn't want any structure.
I think they just wanted to do whatever. This is a type of podcast, like, just sort of rambling with no structure. And I think... Like, Curtis Connor does that. It's never my favorite type. Mm-hmm. I don't really listen to any that are like this. Because I find it's almost kind of similar to live streaming. Where it's kind of watching people hanging out. And I just don't particularly, like, find it that interesting. But it is a type of podcast that people seem to like.
The thing is that Stephen Colbert, of the five of them, in my opinion, is the best interviewer.
Yeah.
Which I think has helped him take in the role of natural lead.
I think, was it also him who was talking about how he really likes guests who are bad interviewers? Or yes. Who don't like being interviewed?
Yes.
That was also really interesting.
Yes.
But it was kind of, again, I felt like he was kind of throwing out interesting stuff. And then everyone else was like, oh, that's interesting. But they weren't, like, picking it up. Like, oh, yeah, here's... some interesting interview I did with someone who was hard to interview, or, you know.
Okay, so we've done Jimmy Fallon. Also, I guess we never talked about the Jimmy Fallon a workplace thing.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon had an Ellen situation. Oh, yeah.
I was going to bring that up. So, okay. So the thing that's interesting about this is... We've talked about this before in terms of how different scandals can hit celebrities differently based on their public perception. Because the thing with Ellen, hit Ellen how it did, was because she had made her brand being nice and kindness and, like, pureness and, like, joy. And then finding out that she was, like, kind of rude was a really big deal.
Yeah.
Whereas if you find out Tom Cruise is kind of rude, you're like, that makes sense because he's Tom Cruise. You know what I mean?
That's also why people were so shocked about Drew Barrymore.
Exactly.
Was no one was upset when, what's that HBO show with the guy who's like an asshole?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
House of Cards?
No. He has like the late night show where he interviews with people and he's... Bill Maher. Bill Maher and Drew Barrymore both announced basically at the same time they were coming back. And no one really got that upset with Bill Maher, because Bill Maher is famously an asshole.
Yeah.
And Drew Barrymore is a nice person.
Yeah.
And so when he came back, everyone's like, yeah, he would do that. And Drew Barrymore was, like, our sweetheart.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon...
She's been having such a, like, not even a rebrand, but, like, a...
Resurgence.
Everyone was upset. Crazy. Jimmy Fallon, I think... actually has this is I think he's an interesting case, because outwardly I think he wants us to think that he's an Ellen, but I think at the point that this article came out, most people knew that he had a bad drinking problem. What are you making a face at me?
I didn't know this.
You never knew this? You never heard the rumors? He was always injured on his show, like he always had weird injuries and like... Okay, well, this is interesting, because this is breaking my... I thought most of us knew that he had a drinking problem.
I did not.
Oh, okay. So when I saw the article, I was like, yeah, obviously. And so I'm gathering this was not your experience. Okay. No. What was your experience then?
My experience was much more. I wasn't like, this is Ellen, but I was like, this is pretty close to Ellen to me.
That's it.
Where I was like, the only difference is that I didn't like him. I kind of liked Ellen before. Uh-huh. Like, I was tired of Ellen just because she had been on for so long.
Yeah.
And Ellen, I could tell Ellen was tired of being Ellen.
Ellen was tired of being Ellen.
But I still was like, I still felt the magic of Ellen. Mm-hmm. I was just like, Ellen's tired of having that magic. She wants a break. And then all that happened. Mm-hmm. But this was much closer to Ellen than it was to that. I didn't know that people thought that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's... I knew that he had a problem.
Well, I mean, this was at least my perception, was that he wanted us to think that he was an Ellen, but we all knew that he, like, had all these issues going on.
I think I knew he was wild and zany. Uh-huh. And he's never had much experience in late night before he basically took over a lot of really big late night. Mm-hmm. He was bad at management. Is what I believed. And that seems to be a lot of what this was. Mm-hmm. Was he's not a manager. Mm-hmm. And he's not a good team leader. Mm-hmm. And yet he's leading this very large team of people. Mm. And it, the thing that was most damning in all this reporting, which was already publicly known, but he's gone through, like, basically a new showrunner every season of his show. Mm. Which is really weird.
Yeah.
Like, you give showrunners for 10 years or something, usually. That's really weird that every year your showrunner would quit. Because that's a very well-paying, very bougie job hosting The Tonight Show.
Interesting.
And so, if they're all leaving, that does add credibility to me. Obviously, these are just allegations, and he apologized for it. Both in public, and he had a team meeting. Mm-hmm. With his staff, who he apologized to.
Okay.
So he took it seriously, which means I don't think he was trying to be malicious or anything.
From what I saw, and I did not look into this very deeply because I kind of was like, oh yeah, I thought we all knew that. But from what I saw, it sounds like he was acting like a moody talent. But he was, like, in charge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of heard that. I thought it was more him... being like, woohoo, I'm being so crazy right now, look how goop, like he was always doing his TV thing. Mm-hmm. But like all day, like type thing.
What?
All day.
But that sometimes he was being in a really bad mood and then everyone would be freaked out.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that much. I don't know that much about it, so I don't want to overly do specifics. I just had never heard that side of that rumor before.
Interesting.
But anyway, the show didn't kick him off, so. Okay, we've done Colbert, we've done Fallon. Let's do Seth Meyers, because there's not going to be very much to say about Seth Meyers.
Is he the guest?
No.
Oh. He didn't talk very much.
He did, actually.
He did?
He did.
What did he talk about?
He was probably talking the second most. After Colbert. Okay. He was also the second most hosty. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about Seth Meyers. Is he is one of the later late night shows. Mm-hmm. Like, his is pretty late. Mm-hmm. His is really good. But he's kind of always, like, the third wheel of late night hosting.
Yeah.
Where... his shows just never had that much cultural resonance. Mm-hmm. And he's never had that much. He basically went from writing as head writer on SNL to late night, his late night show. He's good at it, though.
Uh-huh. I think I've seen, like, a good interview with him. That's the limit of my knowledge.
He invited Jinx on once. That was fun.
Oh, that's nice.
He did like Jinx. Well, he didn't really get Jinx. Yeah. He didn't. He was trying, but he did not understand drag queens. Mm. He was very much like, so RuPaul. Mm-hmm. Like, he just kind of kept bringing up RuPaul's name. From what I remember, being like, so RuPaul. And she was like, yeah, I'm on Broadway right now. But he wasn't, like, dismissive of her. He was just like, he was just very obviously not a drag person. But I guess that's fine. Anyway, he was good on the show. Not very memorable.
I don't remember anything.
Clearly. Let's do John Oliver next, because we should talk about Kimmel last.
The most I know about John Oliver is from him on Community. And I still think about him as the guy from Community. Like, the character, I think that's him. Even though I know it's not. But, like, that's my reference for him. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember most of what he said on this.
Yes. John Oliver did
not... He had the least juvenile sense of humor. Which was
by nice. By far.
Which was nice.
By far. Yeah. I appreciated that. There, I could tell listening to this, I'm like, you're the one with all the Emmys.
Yeah.
And it's true. Mm-hmm. And they all know it. Mm-hmm. And part of it is that his show is such a different format from theirs. And uh-huh. his style of humor is clearly different. And he can do juvenile humor. He'll play things like that before. So, I think he just was doing better.
Okay. What do you mean you think he was just doing better?
Like, okay, that was poor wording. He's just better than everyone. I think his humor was just the least crass.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to do crass humor as much.
Uh-huh.
And I appreciated it. I thought it was adding the sophistication that
Did he have a good British... story? I don't remember.
He's talked about how he didn't have the deposition. He's the only one that didn't have a deposition.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. He didn't have a lot of stories. He doesn't really divulge much about his personal life.
I feel like he was dragged on a little bit.
He did feel like you should be here too.
Yeah. So I didn't feel like he was, really sharing a lot, but I did appreciate the different approach he had to everyone else who was a little bit annoying.
He's also... Seth Meyers is also from acting. He's from skit acting. Mm-hmm. John Oliver's really the only one of the five of them who was ever really actor. Mm-hmm. Also, Jimmy Fallon was obviously at one point skit acting.
He was in movies.
Was he?
Yep.
That's weird for me.
He was in Taxi Driver with Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in other movies?
Oh, I remember that, because Jimmy Fallon has said famously, or not famously, but Jimmy Fallon has said the reason he likes late night uh-huh. way more than like movies and TV uh-huh. is when you make a movie, you spend 9 months of your life and people say, oh, that was bad. And then you've wasted 9 months of your life. But if you do a bad late night show,
yeah.
people say that was not a good late night show. And then you do another one the next day.
Yeah.
And so... He likes that you don't have to wait 9 months to be told what you did is bad.
Yeah.
And you can just do it and go on.
Which is valid.
Yeah, I would agree.
Who had the story about their mom having the pants of some dictator?
Colbert.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was a good story.
So we don't have much to say about John Oliver, and then John Oliver seemed the least interested in being there.
Yeah.
And then finally, there is Kimmel. Okay. Jimmy Kimmel.
You had so many pauses. Are you okay?
You hate Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. I do. He didn't talk very much.
He did not talk like...
He was, like, taking control as, like, the hostie of the hostess.
Yeah.
But he wasn't very good at it.
He's not a hostie. He's had his late night show for the longest amount of time. Mm-hmm. He's had it for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Fallon's also had late night for a long time, but Jimmy Fallon switched shows at some point.
He did?
He used to have the late night show, and then he went to the Tonight Show about whenever he took over.
Oh, okay.
And then Seth Meyers took over Jimmy's spot. So he swapped shows, but Jimmy Kimmel... has been doing the same show since, like, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. We just don't like Jimmy Kimmel.
I think he's mean.
I don't like his Halloween skit of the kids and being like, I ate all your candy.
Yeah,
and then watching kids cry. And then he's like, haha, those kids sure did cry.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's I guess, meaningless in the sense they're just kids, I guess. I think it's mean.
They're not just kids. You betrayed their trust.
I know. You know, You're right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Well, I'm not trying to over-sensationalize it, like, but I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
And I do find a lot of that's there. There's parts of it I like.
I don't know. I've never watched it. I didn't like when he was hosting the Oscars all the time.
No, I hated it.
So boring.
He's a terrible Oscars host. I don't know why they asked him once, I think then they asked him twice, and then didn't they ask him a third time?
I think he's incredibly neutral as an Oscar host, and I think that's why they kept asking him. Because they were scared.
No, that's not it at all. I refuse to accept that.
Why?
Because Jimmy Kimmel is on ABC, yeah. And ABC also does the Oscars. So ABC negotiated with the Oscars at some point. They were like, we're not going to broadcast you anymore unless you let us have a huge say in your show. And they were like, we're going to make Jimmy Kimmel do everything.
Okay.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel's had a show since 2003.
Ugh. Jimmy Kimmel was on this show. 20 years. Jimmy Kimmel was on this show before that called The Man Show. Mm-hmm. Which was a very, very bad show that we don't talk about enough culturally. There's a Curtis Connor video on it. Second time I've brought up Curtis Connor. But there's a Curtis Connor video on it if you want to learn about it without having to watch the show.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel hosted the 89th, 90th, and 95th Oscars. Which, by the way, he had famously terrible ratings for the 90th.
Yeah.
They were like the worst Oscar ratings at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they'd ever ask him back. Part of me, I don't know if this is allowed. I want Ellen to host them again.
Why wouldn't it be allowed?
Because isn't Ellen canceled and banished?
I think people are mostly over it.
I don't know. It's hard to read the internet and what's actually canceled and what's just somewhat canceled. I also don't understand the full extent. But they need better hosts. They're still bad at hosts.
I don't think the problem with the Oscars is the host.
I don't think that's the problem. But I think it makes... I think if you get a bad... I don't think it's the problem, but I think it is an extra problem when they get a needlessly bad host.
Yes, I agree.
I think getting a good host won't fix everything, but getting a good host will
not hurt. It definitely helps the experience of the viewer.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even mind it when they didn't have a host for a while.
I don't even know how that worked.
They just didn't do opening monologue, and they just had celebrities come out and be like, here's the next award. Here's the next award. Moving on.
Anyway, so that's this podcast.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
I think it's fine if you... It's exactly what it is. It's five people who, if you like their late night shows...
You'll probably like hearing about them talk. But also, I would say, with this rambly format, like, I really enjoy Curtis Connor videos. I'm not a huge fan of his podcast because I find it a little bit too rambly.
Yeah.
So I think there is, I think if you have to be on board with listening to them talk with no editing there's some editing, but with little editing and like structure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is very, very different. So I think even if like you're a fan of their shows, it's
if you have to be a fan of them personally.
Yeah.
And like you want to just hear them talk more.
Yeah.
But it does that. It does that well for what it is, but that is a very specific format.
I don't know if it does it well for what it is.
I think it does it well.
I think it could do it better.
I think they could do it better. I think it also does it well. I think there's two set. Both of those are true.
Mm-hmm.
This is good, not great.
I don't think it's very good.
This is adequate.
It's adequate.
Have they picked next year's host? I hope not. That would stink. But overall, I'm not recommending this unless you really want to listen to it. If you heard everything and you're like, I'm in, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
But
yay for supporting writers. Yay for a hopefully successful resolution to the strike. Oh,
it supports charity. Now I feel bad for saying don't listen.
The strike's over.
That's true. They have more episodes. Where's the money?
They probably got prepaid for the podcast.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Ryan Reynolds basically paid them for this. As their main sponsor. I think that's his vodka and his cell company.
Yeah, he does the ads.
Those are always fun. That's who I heard.
Yeah.
And yeah, that concludes today's episode of Friends at Film Camp. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll catch you next time at the campfire.